Creek! Welcome. Let me guess, you're creating a Dungeons & Dragons podcast and you're looking for something to add a little extra zing, extra zest, extra pop. Pop. Oh, excuse me, I think my popcorn is almost ready. Let me get it out of the microwave. Ding! Ka-chunk! So salty! You totally thought I was just eating popcorn, right? Nope! That's all part of the magic of making sound effects with your mouth. Follow along, and I'll show you. Check out my display case here. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, please don't tap on the glass. So, what do we have in here? A huge explosion! No, don't worry. Just another impressive, world-renowned sound effect. No? Explosions aren't your thing? Let's see here. Come back behind this velvet curtain. So tell me, just what are you looking for? A locking chest? Ka-chick! Rushing breeze? A falcon? Or perhaps a far-off drunk guy?
Oh, you motherfucker! Just get back to the fucking game already! God, isn't this a fucking D&D podcast? Jesus Christ!
Why did the sound effect cross the road? To get to the other side. Cheep cheep, cheep cheep, cheep cheep, cheep cheep, cheep cheep. Was that a bad joke? Nope, it was just a setup for another excellent sound effect. The cricket sound, a timeless classic. Rest assured that when you break out some of your own sweet-ass mouth sounds the next time you DM, you won't be hearing any crickets. All you'll hear is applause. Clap, 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 clap. Clap, 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 woo, woo. Clap, 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 clap. Making sound effects with your mouth. These sound professional. Trust me.
Welcome to Pork Fried Dice, a podcast in which a group of sometimes funny, usually awkward, perpetually sexy people play Dungeons & Dragons together, featuring Jose as Gorin, Katie as Will, Greg as Link, and Eric as Nick and as Dungeon Master. Hold on to your haversacks. Let's roll.
Well,
let's find a place to go sit. Now, maybe get him cleaned up.
Yeah.
I think that might be a good idea.
If there's anything going... I mean, this place seemed deserted to me.
There's got to be something.
Yeah, it seemed like there was... Well, yeah. We were only in the street once. Will's sure. Lying through his teeth because he was not just in the street once. He left the house without telling anyone. But he's like, yeah, we were only out here once, and those kids were the only thing out here, and they turned out to be ghosts. And I don't know. Why don't we just walk down this street? I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, out of character.
Yep.
Will did see an inn down the street.
When you were wandering, like, alone?
When I was wandering. So, yeah, Will suggest walking down the street.
I think you either saw one or were told where one was.
Well, I definitely was told where it was, but I think before I got kind of caught up in the mists, I saw the inn sign or light or something, and I tried to make my way there, but then I got swept up in the mist. So
yeah.
Will will just be like, I don't know, let's just walk down the street and, you know.
If you remember, it seemed to be if you went in the direction that Strahd was with the wolves that way, and it goes to, like, kind of an intersection. If you take a right there, if you're, unless you're completely turned around and you know streets pretty well, it's kind of your bag. So you probably have a pretty good, once you start to get
once I've seen one street, I've seen every street.
Exactly.
So that's how it works.
No, but you have a
good sense. I've walked down a street in my life. I know what they all were.
In a town.
Yeah, no,
you asshole.
Yes. Yes. Shut up.
Don't make fun of me. I am God. A meteorite crushes Will.
Oh.
And the meteorite is made of scorpions.
Aww. All right. Okay, so yeah, okay. I think Will just starts, he definitely, if it's possible, he would stay in the back and keep his eye on especially the newcomers.
Nick would lead the way. Which way, Will?
I mean, Will, no, Will didn't indicate that he knows. He's just like, let's just go down the street. Let's go. And he'll try to subtly lead them to where he went.
So you want
to
be leading us from the back, subtly.
Well, you said down the street and then you said a right. So he'll go down the street. And then when there's a right, he'll be like, I think I smell a bar this way.
It smells like bar. If you do get to that intersection, everything is, you don't see any lights on, any houses or anything like that, but you do see down the street a ways, maybe like 10 houses away-ish or so, you do see a light from that direction that looks, you know, not just like moonlight, that's kind of probably man-made.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, well, if we're walking,
let's go for it.
Yeah.
If you keep going that way, again, you just see left and right. You know, there's a road that, again, leads off to the right, but it just looks dark that way. The houses just seem dark. Everything looks really shitty here. It's old, worn, broken down. Some of the houses even look completely abandoned, like boarded up. But you find the source of the light. The street kind of empties out into a small town, squarish kind of thing. Just a bit more of an open area with streets kind of leading off in a few directions. The main source of light, what you saw, was coming from, there's an open doorway to the right, kind of in the northeast corner of the square. There's a doorway that's open and light is spilling out from within. Above the doorway you can see a sign. It's kind of hanging, not really true, and it says that this is the Blood on the Vine Tavern. If you look around, you do notice on the other side of the square, there's another largish building. You can tell there's light inside, but it's kind of curtained. The door is closed, but there is definitely light coming from there. And there's a sign over that door. It says, Bildrath's Mercantile.
I'm going to peek my head into the open door.
Okay. You look in. Nick would, I think, follow behind. And basically, you would see inside, it's a tavern. You could tell maybe it was nice once, but it's kind of, again, just like the rest of the city, kind of worn down, mismatched furniture at this point. There is a barkeep behind a bar, wiping out glasses, and otherwise it's pretty sparsely filled. There's a few people in there. You see near the door, there's a group of three women dressed kind of different from most people you've seen. They're kind of brightly colored clothing, loose-fitting garments, that kind of thing. In the corner, you see a man drinking alone with his head down. In the middle, there is looks like what maybe is like a couple sitting together, nursing a few cups of wine, but don't really seem to be doing too much. So, total, there's seven people in the bar, including the bartender.
Okay, I'm going to turn back and go, do you guys want to go have a seat? Maybe a drink?
Yeah.
Yes, there may be food, too.
Yeah. Ah.
Certainly. Yeah. Let's do it.
Right. I'm going to say, go pick a table. I'll start us off, and I'll walk over to the bartender, and, hey, new to town. How are you? I'm a traveling bard. Mind if I sit down and drink and ask you a few questions?
That's fine. What would you like to drink?
What's the best thing you guys have here? What's, like, the favorite? The local favorite?
We have wine.
Let's go for that, and I'm going to order for the three other individuals I walked with right over there, too.
Would you like a pitcher?
Sure.
That's one silver piece.
Sure, I'll fish it out.
He turns and pours a pitcher from a small cask beneath the bar and hands it to you. And then he goes back to cleaning his glasses. Not his spectacles, the glasses, the bar glasses.
I'll come back. We'll head back over to the group.
Oh, thank you. What was it, was it
Gorin?
Gorin. I thought it was Gordon. I don't know. Sorry. Anyway.
It's a common misconception.
So that was Nick said that, right?
Yeah.
You're so many people now. It's hard
to
follow.
Yes, I'm everyone.
Okay, so we all sat. I would say Will would probably pick a seat somewhere in the corner so he could kind of look at everyone. He's not trusting anyone. He is never trusting anyone, or especially he doesn't know where he is. So he's going to be like putting himself in the corner where he can see the door and the people in the tavern.
Okay. Nick would sit with you. Is Lank there too? What's Lank doing?
Lank's there too. He would follow over. No questions asked.
Well, let's have a drink first. I think we might all need that. Let's see how good this wine is. Maybe we should all kind of describe ourselves, our characters, since it's kind of a good place to do it, so that way we and our wonderful audience knows exactly what to picture us as. Let's
start. At the moment, for Lank, There's still probably more mud than dwarf. But his face is clean, and his face is kindly.
Got it.
Aww.
Just for the sake of the future, since everybody always forgets to do this, do you want to describe what he looks like sans mud?
Classic dwarf. Short and stocky and muscular.
Okay. What's he wearing?
His chainmail.
I think I said it before, but he's got a big old maul, right?
Yes.
Giant hammery thing. Does he have hair? Does he have a beard?
Yes. Currently caked in mud.
And what color is it?
Actually, it blends in with the mud rather well. Sort of a dark brown.
Got it. It's bright green mud. Yes. Forgot to mention.
Yes. He changes the color of his hair every day.
Based on whatever mud he's birthed out of. Cool. What about Will?
Okay. Will is a human. He is a man. He is about 34, something like that, 34. Kind of average build. He has dark hair, except for a shock of white hair at his, oh God, I'm going to forget which temple it is. I think it's his right temple. His hair kind of stands up in weird ways that won't be tamed. Kind of looks like he was in an electrical storm. He wears very nice clothes. He wears like a suit with a high collar and like a old school kind of like tie cravat thing. Shiny shoes, the kind of shoes that you would never wear as an adventurer. He has a mustache, a nice full mustache, but he looks haggard and tired and like he hasn't slept in a while. Like he looks very out of place. Doesn't look like an adventurer. Doesn't look like he should be fighting this crazy guy with the, you know, in the street. So that, I think that's about all I have. Yeah.
Nick is a male half-elf. He's like 20-ish or something. Maybe a couple years older or younger. I'm not sure. Somewhere around there, though. He's tall, relatively well-built. He has kind of shaggy, sandy blonde hair. He wears leather armor. Beneath the leather armor is like a tunic. It's like a blue-green color. He has a rapier on one hip, a short sword on the other. He just looks very agile and has blue eyes? Brown eyes? I think brown eyes. I'd say brown
eyes. But he definitely has eyes.
Yes. He has eyes.
Wait, no. He has brown circles that he drew on his face where his eyes should be.
I thought as much.
And Gorin.
Gorin is a human. Average height, so I guess like 5'10", 5'11". Well-built, but he's thin. Wears leather armor. He wears a hooded tunic over it. It's black tinged with blue. He has a small bow. He has a rapier, a lute, and he keeps a book strapped to his hip. He has a short beard, but it's the type of beard you could tell was grown out just because he hasn't shaved, not because he has a beard. Brown hair, black... Sorry, I was gonna say brown hair, black eyes. That's creepy. Black hair, brown eyes. Also, I do have a lot of random stupid things hanging all up. Like, there's like a pan flute here, and there's a book there, and there's like a scroll here. And...
That's so cool.
You're all jingle jangly.
I am a one-man band.
Oh, did I mention the cymbals attached to my knees? How do you think I'm so sneaky?
Okay.
All
right, so he came over with the drinks.
Yep, and everybody, I think Nick would try the drink. He would hold up his glass and say, to whatever the hell we all just went through.
Exciting night.
What did we all just go through?
you popped out of the ground. That's really cool. And, you know, other than that, there was a scary guy. Do you remember what we just went through?
They missed the first part of it. They kind of came in the middle. I don't know how long Gorin was watching, but that was apparently, at least he said it was, what was it, Strahd?
Yeah. Strahd von Zarva. He's the guy in the letter, Nick. He was in the letter.
Right. You know, I just couldn't remember. Like, you're the name guy. I don't.
Right.
Names are tough. That's a weird name. Come on. How did you remember that? That's pretty cool.
How did I... It was in the letter. You don't remember that creepy-ass letter from the...
Yes, I remember the letter, but I don't remember the name exactly. I knew it was the same guy when he said it, but...
Yeah, and he said it again, so that's why I remember the name, because he said his name.
Great. Anyway, Strahd von Tsarnovich. He,
Oh my god.
What?
You're right. Go ahead. Tell the story, Nick.
That's it. That's the story. It was him.
Yeah, well, so we were in that house, that pile of rubble was a house, and we were in there. I don't know what we were in there, and when we came out, the thing collapsed. We fought a gross monster, and that guy was out in the street, and he was saying that, well, he told us that we're not going anywhere, so I don't know what that means. I don't know. I guess we have to stay in this crappy town. And then he realizes that he said that in a normal, loud voice. So he's looking around, making sure that nobody heard him insult the town.
Make a perception check.
Okay.
Everybody can, actually.
14.
8.
16.
Got it. Everybody but Gorin notices that the couple kind of sitting in the middle of the room seem to be like actively trying not to pay attention to you. Like they're almost oddly like not looking your way. They're kind of sitting awkwardly in their seats based on where they're oriented, like trying to face away from you. But all of you notice that the guy who is alone in the other corner, he is not drinking. He is sitting upright and staring directly at all of you. He doesn't look menacing. He's not, like, furrowing his brow or anything like that. He just seems to be, like, raptly paying attention to you, basically.
That guy's staring at us.
I know, I see.
Do you think maybe he wants to join us?
Oh, God.
Do you not want to make any more friends today?
Friends. Actually, I think that's what he says. Friends. And he just, like, looks at you and looks at Lank just like, yeah. Okay, just, you know, interesting. Not like meanly, just is like repeating the word and like
kind of, you know, meanly.
Kind of meanly.
like you could, okay.
He says the word and it's kind of like he's evaluating whether or not like that's the word he would choose, and he just said it and he's just looking. I think Will's really tired at this. He just freaking fought a monster. And the house almost fell on him. And then they fought another monster. And he's like, all right, this is great.
But yeah, what do you think? What do you guys think that guy's? What is he doing?
He's looking at us.
Strahd said that he would be watching us. Do you think that's like a spy of his?
It doesn't really look like him, does it?
The dwarf's got a point.
You're right, it doesn't...
Do spies look like the people they're spying for? I've only heard of spies, I've never met one.
Well, you said that he said that he would be watching. If that's not him, it's not him watching.
All right, Lank, I think Lank found a loophole.
The logic is sound.
We'll call him as our next witness.
I think Will, Will's looking right back at the guy, just looking at him.
So you're not trying to hide the fact that you're...
No, because if he's just looking at us, Will's just going to be like, what? Just looking at him like, hello, what are you looking at?
Noticing that you're staring at him, he kind of like blinks and realizes that he has been staring. But at that, he gets up and he comes over to your table and he says, hello, I'm so sorry for so rudely... staring, listening, kind of smiles sheepishly, says, I do apologize. Allow me to make amends. My name is Ismark. I couldn't help but notice you all come in. May I? And he says, I'll refill your pitcher there for you if you'd like.
Sure. I'm going to look around the table questioningly, like, that seems okay to me.
Thank you.
Yeah? Will?
Will just, everyone else is talking. Will's just sitting and looking.
Okay, hold that thought. I'll be right back. He'll go up Thank to the you. Bartender who gives him a pitcher and he brings it back and he sets it down. And he'll sit. He'll even pour new glasses for everybody. He's like, again, I do apologize. I just, I got ahead of myself. I'm sorry about that. Again, my name is Ismark. Ismark Kolyanovich. I suspect you're new to the town, so you may not know that name, but my father... is Kolyan Indirovich, the village burgomaster.
Right.
Yeah, so what's so interesting about us?
Well, I can tell you're new to town. It's a very small village here, and newcomers kind of stick out like a sore thumb, or a non-sore thumb, if you will. Kind of says that almost to himself.
Oh, that's so sad. That's so sad. Everyone's sore. Aw.
And he says, I would wager quite a bit of money that you've probably at this point met, and he lowers his voice, the Devil Strahd already, haven't you?
Wasn't he that guy who we met earlier?
That would be him.
Yes.
Wow, you didn't remember? He kind of looks at Lank. That thing tends to leave an impression on most people.
I was just making sure.
Okay. We have both met a lot of people tonight.
That's true.
Okay, yes. Well, you know, I've seen your kind before. Sort of strange people to our land who seem to have possessed quite a bit of skill. Kind of come and go, if you will. But,
did any of them happen to be carried away by clouds of bats when they went?
Well, to be honest, I don't know.
Because that's just what happened to somebody that I knew. It was pretty great. And by great, I mean horrifying.
Well, I know that Strahd can himself transform into a bat. Was that his doing? I'm assuming it was.
Yeah.
I think he has dominion over many fell creatures.
Oh, I think so too. I think he might.
I think that's a fair statement.
Well, basically, I don't mean to disturb, but I'm not in a great position to even ask this, but I was hoping that you might be willing to lend a hand, and unfortunately, and he kind of rubs his eyes like I'm doing right now. He says, I do have a lot to ask, but I honestly don't know where to turn. I was here just kind of drinking away my my sorrows at this point, but you are potentially a ray of hope for me, so I honestly have nothing to lose at this point. And Nick would say, well, I'm sure we could help, right? I mean, he turns to the others in the group. I don't know what it is, but at least we can hear this man out. What do you think?
I'm always down to hear his story, especially in a new town.
I'm always happy to help.
Oh, that's good. And he kind of looks at Will, who's sitting silent. Are you even paying attention?
I'm just looking at him.
And he'll probably look at you for a second and then continue mostly looking at the other three.
Yeah, that's probably what a normal person might do.
As I said, I need your help. And well, basically, the course of the matter is, and he kind of collects himself and he says, well, again, so yes, you've met the Devil Strahd. And he always kind of lowers his voice when he says that and has more of an edge to his voice.
So whenever he says that, can I kind of look around to see if anyone else in the bar, like, it seems like this guy's like all about Strahd and we just met Strahd. Is anyone else in the bar reacting to that name or kind of listening when he's talking about that? Can I roll something for
that?
Yeah,
make an insight check.
13.
Basically, everybody else in there seems to be doing their own thing. The three women by the door, they're don't seem to be paying any attention to you at all. They're kind of having a low conversation with each other. The couple in the middle is just sitting there in silence, and the barkeep's still washing his glasses.
Okay.
So, it's actually my sister, Irina, who is the one that is in need. And, you know, being my sister, that means that I'm in need. I don't know how to put this. It's almost embarrassing, though I don't know. It's not fair to her or to me. Strahd has, well, I don't know if you, I don't know how much you know. Strahd himself is not of this world. He is a vampire.
Huh.
Okay. Might make a little more sense. Whoops.
Yes. A creature of great power, certainly, and maybe greater evil. And he has fixated himself on my sister, Irina. He is insistent that she will become his bride, his consort, and wants to take her with him back to his castle. He has visited her twice already. He has fed on her, even. He kind of shudders and takes a moment. And I'm worried that the next time he visits, that she will be his for good. She obviously does not want this, and nor do I. So I am looking for help. We are right here, directly beneath the gaze of his castle. You may have seen it off in the distance. That is the castle Ravenloft. That is where he dwells. And here in the village of Barovia, I fear she is just at too much risk. There is a town along the road farther from here. It's called Valaki, where I feel like she would be better protected. The defenses are said to be much more significant, and I'm just trying to think of a way to get her there. I don't know that I could take her on my own, but I thought that maybe you would be perhaps willing. I honestly don't have much to offer, but just hopefully out of what I hope you have as goodness in your hearts, be willing to assist me with this.
Everyone else should talk, because Will's gonna be a dick. Will's
gonna be certainly happy to assist any way that I can.
All I'd want in return is just answers to a few questions.
Oh, I mean, regardless, okay. I would be happy to answer any questions you have. I answer them to the best of my ability. What do you want to know?
I'm gonna look down on the table. I'm like, are we all in for this?
Will laughs just like that.
Will, do you...
I'm happy to assist someone in need.
You're not certainly considering turning this man down. He is, as Lank said, certainly in need.
Well, are we not in need right now? Can I ask anyone here? Does everyone feel like they're not in need? Because, to be completely honest, we just fought a guy that had rats eat one of our other members of our party. And, you know, a lady got carried away by bats. So, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty needy right now myself. I'm not sure.
Well, but Will, I mean, you're in need, but what are you in need of?
I'm just saying, I don't know if I'm in the place to be fighting some guy that, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Our new friends might be able to help better. I don't know.
Ismark shakes his head. No, I would never think of asking you to fight that devil. No, I don't think that would go well for any of you or all of you. I just basically need an escort for my sister to bring her to Valaki, where I just hope, as little hope as there is in this land, I have a small glimmer of hope that she might fare better there.
Sensing that everyone at the table is just kind of like, how could Will not help? Just sensing that, he's just going to like fall quiet again, and he's going to just kind of lean on his elbow on the table and just kind of quietly just like wave his hand, like, keep going. Whatever questions you want to ask, Goran, go ahead.
I'm looking for someone called Madam Eva.
Madam Eva.
Vistani.
Vistani. Oh, okay. And he points to the women at the door. Those are Vistani, those women there. They actually own this tavern. I don't think I've heard of that. I mean, it certainly sounds like a Vistani name. I know there are a few encampments here in this land, but you might be better served asking them. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Hey, you're giving me whatever answers you're willing to give. That's great.
I would think that they would have a pretty good chance of perhaps knowing who that is.
All right.
Anything else?
For now, that's it. It seems like we're going to have to take a second to discuss whether or not we want to just escort your sister. And if so, when? I'm going to look around the table again. Am I right?
Certainly, though I would, this is still Ismar, though I would really strongly encourage you that if you agree to help me with this, that it happens sooner than later. I don't know when the next time Strahd will return, but I suspect it will be soon. And he'll get up, and he'll go further away than he was before, basically where he wouldn't be able to listen, and he kind of just stands against the wall and He does watch, but he's not, like, trying to, like, eavesdrop or anything like that. He's too far away to hear you if you talk in, like, a normal voice.
I mean, didn't Strahd say we weren't even gonna go anywhere?
He did.
Will's just kind of,
yes.
Like, it's clear that Will's like, what's the point? I mean, I guess we can try, but I just don't, I mean, did you see that? He looked right at me and he was like, you're not going anywhere. Like, okay. I don't feel like we're going to be able to go anywhere. And if we go somewhere, what are we supposed to do? Like, you think that that's going to do anything for this woman? This guy can turn into gaseous emissions and fly away.
Yeah, I can't really speak to that. As the rest of you, I'm new here. But if he thinks it could help, I mean, I feel like he would know better than we would. Being someone who is from here and seems to know more about what's going on than we do.
But yeah, I gotta say, I mean, he said he was gonna keep his eyes on us, and if he's gonna be around anyway, why not? I'm always of the option that if there's something you can try, you should probably try it, and if we can help someone at the same time, why not?
Because we might piss him off more? That's what Will says. If we piss this guy off, it doesn't sound like a good thing to me.
Well, he killed one of us, carried one of us away, so I guess, did he leave the rest of us for a reason, or, I don't know.
Well, regardless of this man's intentions, this man here is asking us for help. I'm willing to help.
Well, this guy certainly seems to have a good heart. Good on you, Lank. I mean, that's kind of the way I'm leaning, too. I mean, we could try to make our way out of here on our own. I don't know how much good it would do if we come across a pack of 30 more wolves. But, I mean, Will, you don't seem to have any sympathy towards this man or his plight.
I'm not saying I don't have any sympathy. I'm just saying I have sympathy for myself as well. And for you, my friend, you know, if we work actively to piss off this crazy vampire guy, that's not going to end well for us. And he likes this lady, apparently, so...
I mean, but he did say that he was... What did he say? He was looking for entertainment from us. So, short of... And he glances at Goran, who is literally covered head to toe in 50 musical instruments. Short of... literally putting on a show. I can't think of much to do. You know, sitting around is probably not going to provide that. Honestly, I don't know. I feel like we're kind of in some weird place with the way we arrived, Will, in our weird carriages, and Lank came up out of the ground. I don't know about you, Goran. We never really heard.
Yeah, where are you from, Goran?
I'm a traveler. I'm a traveling lore master. I collect stories.
All right. Do you know at all about Strahd? Are you from this area?
I've heard the name. I've heard some stories, but I'm not from Barovia. So,
okay.
Did you get kind of magically brought here? I mean, that's what it seemed like to me. I was in my town. I was in Tivoli, and then all of a sudden, I was in a carriage, and then I just was here. And there was no driver, no horse, and the carriage just stopped and then went away. Was it something like that for you? Like,
I definitely am not here of my own accord.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should. We should help him. I mean, at the very least, he says he's the son of the burgomaster. Like, he may have some power here in this place. I don't know quite if it's going to match what Strahd has, but some influence, some information, something that might be able to help us long term. And, you know, at the very least, in terms of helping us out in need, Will, I think that might certainly accomplish that for you. Plus, you don't want to see this guy. Imagine how you would feel if we just went our own way and then we came across Ismark tomorrow and his sister has been taken away to become the bride to this Strahd guy. Can you imagine how that would make you feel, Will?
I think, I mean, again, he's going to look around. I feel like everyone's just staring at me. If Lank's like, we should help. I don't know. I don't know how Goran's looking at what is Goran saying.
I'm in to help the kid. I mean, I've lost people, too. I want to make sure that as little of that happens as possible. What's good for the tribe. And then I'm going to wink, because I'm that guy.
Lank certainly seems on board. Right, Lank?
I am on board. Eager to help.
I guess he wants this to happen soon, but I think we might need some rest or something. I don't know what time it is. It's nighttime. I know that. I mean, vampires, aren't they supposed to be only out at night? Might be safer to go somewhere during the day, probably.
Yeah.
I would think. So...
I agree with that. Let's tell the guy we're in, and we're going to need some rest, and we can make the plans on a clearer head.
Okay. Nick would catch Ismark's eye and wave him back over at the table. Ismark comes up and says, Yes, so... He's kind of excited at first, and he kind of checks himself. He doesn't want to seem too crazy, overeager. He says, so, what did you all decide?
We're in.
Ah, such enthusiasm. Yes! Let's do it! No. You will. Oh, thank the Morning Lord. Yes, thank you. Okay, well, what can I do? How can I be of assistance?
Well, I think we all kind of agreed that we're going to need at least a little bit of rest before we try this little bit of travel.
Oh, certainly, yes. It would probably be wisest to make the trek during the day, I would think. For Irina, it's going to be risky a bit as it is, because she is, you know, more at risk outside the home, less defensible. But I think with you, she will be able to make the trip safely. You can feel free to return with me to my home, if you'd like. There really isn't much around here, Barovia, these days in the way of accommodations for those out of town. But I would happily put you up for as long as you would need in order to make this happen.
Might you have somewhere that I could remove some of this mud?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I don't know that I would be able to get you warm water, but you all could wash up if you'd like, and I'll provide you whatever accommodations I have. We have food. It's not excellent food, but that's kind of hard to come by here. Sore thumbs and all. He says, well, I don't feel the need to shepherd you. I will head home if you go out the square here and head past the mercantile. My house, my father's house, is there at the end of the road. And I will be there waiting. And whenever you're ready, come by. I will put you up, and then we can go from there.
All right. I am going to go talk to those women you pointed out to me so helpfully, and I'll...
Certainly, yes. Yes, take your time. As I said, I want to move Irina as quickly as possible, but, again, it's not going to happen now, right now, so I'm just glad for your assistance. So whenever you're ready, I'll be there. Unless somebody wants to say anything to him. He doesn't, like, just run away. If someone starts to talk to him, he'll stop, but if not, he'll head out the door.
I'm going to look at the table and go, all right, I'm going to go talk to those women. If you guys want to go ahead, you can go ahead. If you do, I can catch up. Or if you guys want to hang out, it's up to you guys. And I'm going to get up and leave the table.
Nick will look at the others and he'll say, I don't think we should leave him here. I think we should probably all stick together. I don't know what the...
Are we all going to take that man up on his offer for accommodation?
Seems to be the only option I'm aware of. Unless you have other ideas, or you will?
No. I'm happy to stay as long as we head over there after.
Will?
Will just kind of shrugs and is not really happy looking, but I think he fiddles with his locket a little bit.
Okay. Roll a percentile die.
Percentile. 50 and 9. Is 59? 59.
All of a sudden, you hear behind you a voice that says, Hey, Billy, what's up? And you immediately recognize it as the voice of your brother, Frederick.
Whoa. I think Will, like, jumps in his seat and looks around to, like, see the source of the voice.
You don't see anything. And Nick says, Will? Will, are you okay?
Did you hear that?
No. And you hear the voice say, Hey, take it easy there, buddy.
What? I think he just says out loud, like, what? Stupidly.
Nick would be like, are you... What, Will?
I think he just stares at him. Just stares. That's it. I think he's just, like, surprised and kind of thinking if he's going crazy. Like, he's looking around to see if anyone else has a reaction to this voice that just popped up.
And he says, that's better. Calm down, buddy. It's all right. I'm here. Everything's okay.
It sounds like it's from behind him.
What I was about to say is the voice is kind of sounds like it's circling around. He says, hey, watch this. And suddenly, if you're looking kind of in the direction that it was, you'll see back behind the bar on one of the shelves, this weird kind of creature appear. And it looks like a quasit. It's this tiny demon-looking thing. It has these kind of like long, skinny bat ears, kind of like a humpback, a greenish, yellowish color, kind of scaly. It has arms and legs that end in claws. It has these two like big, the devil from Legend horns kind of sticking up.
Whoa, cool like Tim Curry.
Yeah, they're like really big. It has like these big black bulbous eyes and like a mouth with lots of sharp pointy teeth, and it has a tail.
Okay. I think Will, when he sees that, just point, he's like, what? Like, doesn't make an intelligible sound. He just makes a sound that's not a word. And he's like, ah! Like, points at where it is to Nick and to, like, just to anyone at the table. Just, like, he's looking at it like, ah!
Nick looks and goes, what? What?
Will's face is, like, horrified.
What does Lank do?
Lank looks back and forth confusedly between the direction that Will is looking and at Will.
You don't see anything. Just to be clear, and you haven't heard anything.
He assumes that there's something there to be seen, and so every time he looks back away from Will, he looks harder.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And he's just, as he sees everyone looking and they're not seeing, he's like, right there, right there, right there, the thing, right there.
Will, the bartender, the bottles, what are you, what?
I think Will, just realizing that nobody else sees it, he just kind of sits further back in his seat. Nothing.
The thing looks at you and says, they can't see me, dipshit. They can't hear me either. This is just you and me. Unless you want them to see me.
What is happening? Can he tell that he's talking to him? Is it like telepathic or something?
Well, it seems to you like it's coming from that direction, but nobody else can hear it. So.
Okay. So it doesn't seem like anything.
Make an arcana check.
Okay. Yeah. 12.
You don't know.
Okay.
It could be. You think it might be something in your head, but it sounds, as much as you can tell, like it's sound coming from that direction.
I think Will just sinks back into, if they're in like a booth, he just kind of sinks back into the corner, like just wondering if he's sane.
And you're like, yeah, just relax there. I'm just checking things out, seeing how everything's going. But come on. Your brother's back. Be happy, right?
We'll talk.
Yeah, it's okay. We'll talk later. Don't worry about it.
And Will just is like, his eyes are just kind of looking at Nick and looking around to see if anybody sees it. Obviously, nobody sees it, but he's just like, okay. All right.
And let's jump over to Gorin, who, if you want,
now making out with all three of these women at the same time.
That's right. Just all have your faces together and you're just kind of swirling your tongues around.
Yeah. It's real awkward, but I find it so fulfilling.
I neglected to mention they all seem about 90 years old.
Whoa. Gilfs, get your tongues ready. I'm only rolling 20 tonight. No, okay, yeah, so we're at the table.
Yes. So you approach, one of them seems to be sorting through, counting some piles of, there's different coinage. You see basically silver and mostly copper pieces. And they don't even really acknowledge you when you come up.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, ladies. I don't mean to interrupt. I don't want to waste any of your time. But I was informed by the gentleman behind me that you might be able to help me find someone that I am in desperate need to find.
And, why should we help you? One of them says.
Because I don't have anywhere else to go, and anything I can do in exchange for your help, I will do.
Right. The one kind of rolls her eyes and says, what is it? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for Madam Eva.
And they all kind of look at each other sharply, and they start to laugh. Madam Eva, yeah? Oh, okay. Well, certainly, if you want to seek her out, if that's where you feel you need to go. Absolutely. I would definitely recommend seeing her. She,
Wow, why is that so funny?
It's not often that someone comes up to us and starts talking about her. But yeah.
I was told in a... I'm missing something very important to me. And I was told in a letter that she could help me get it back.
Ah, letter, I see. Excellent, okay. Well, yes, if you want to see Madame Eva, absolutely. She is on the road to Valaki. There's a road that splits off from the main path and heads to the Zer Pool. And there's a Vistani encampment there. Madame Eva, that's where she is currently, I believe, as last we had heard.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Is there anything I can do? Just to repay your kindness.
Let me see. You know, I don't know that there is. Just tell Madame Eva that we here at the Blood of the Vine Tavern have been thinking of her. And be sure to listen to what she says very carefully. I think you'll find it to be very interesting.
Okay. Thank you again. And again, if you ever run into me and you need anything that I can do for you, do not hesitate to ask, please.
Well, if we can think of something that you might be able to do for us, absolutely.
If you like music, I'm good at that.
You know what? I wouldn't mind. Things are a little drab in here at present. If you want to strike up a song, I would absolutely accept that. I think we all would.
You got it. And I'm going to go get my loot.
Loot time.
I guess I'll play something happy-esque, but that seems kind of inappropriate considering it seems that everyone in this tavern is going through some horrible bullshit. But yeah, I'll play something kind of uplifting.
Okay. Where do you play from?
I'm going to set myself kind of like against the wall looking towards that door we came in on. That way everyone in the tavern see me.
As soon as you strike up the first chords, the couple in the middle kind of shuffle to their feet and they leave.
But, bitches.
Yeah, what the couple of a-holes.
Oh, I'm sorry, am I looting too hard for you, quiet motherfuckers?
Nick would be pleasantly surprised by the music and would be listening along, probably tapping his foot, drinking his wine. What about Will?
I think he would like it, definitely. It would be like some sense of normalcy, actually. He's not drinking his wine because he doesn't really drink. At least he doesn't drink around other people, but he, is the thing still there? The closet?
Yep. He's kind of sitting on the edge of the shelf, kind of swinging its legs in time with the music.
Actually, then, you know what? I'm going to say that, so Will's been staring at this closet the whole time. So the music starts playing and like Will's just kind of like has a real sense of like the music seems like it should be relaxing him, but it's almost like discordant with how he's feeling because he's like, why is there a pleasant soundtrack playing right now when I am going insane? So he's looking at Nick with a kind of hesitantly smile for a second, which is weird coming from Will too, a smile. So he's definitely not easy right now. He looks uneasy.
Got it. And what about Lank? Does music make him melt into a puddle?
Not melt into a puddle, but I think he just sits back and enjoys it.
The Vistani women, they're not like sitting and watching you, but you can tell they're feeling the groove a little bit. They're still talking to each other. When the song ends, they clap politely for you. Nick claps actually pretty exuberantly for you. He doesn't like stand up at his feet and shout bravo, but he'll clap pretty hard with a smile on his face.
There you go. I take that. That's good enough.
Wow, that was... This is Nick talking. That was something. You've got some talent there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, right. Will distractedly is like, right, yep. That was, and he still keeps staring at a weird place behind Lank's head. I picture Lank across the table and I'm staring like at the shelf, you know, like where the thing is. And I'm just staring like kind of slightly above Lank's head and just across the tavern and just, yeah. Yeah, right. That was great.
And Lank starts clapping enthusiastically and then realizing that he's spraying dirt everywhere as the mud has started to dry, he tempers his enthusiasm.
I think if some of the dirt, like I picture some of the dirt hitting Will for a second and Will's like looking down at himself just for, like the trance is broken just for a second. He looks down at himself annoyedly and he points at him and cleans more of him like just... Another squeegee move, just like that at least, like, cleans him in annoyance. Ugh, God.
All right. Did you get what you needed, Gorin, from those ladies?
I hope so.
All right. Well, should we be off for what night's rest we can get in this dismal place?
I feel like that's a good idea.
I agree.
Will, you ready?
He's like, yep, yep. Just staring at the thing in the corner or shelf, whatever.
Yeah. All right. So you can all get up to go. If you're staring at it, it kind of just like is waving at you.
Okay. Will, so it's staying there?
Yeah.
Okay.
As you're leaving.
Okay. Yeah. Will like backs out the door, probably trips over the threshold or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. He's not letting it out of his sight. Then he backs out and follows everybody.
All right. So if you head down the road towards where Ismark said to go, to the south out of the square past the mercantile, you start to lose the light from the tavern and it goes back into the kind of the moonlit streets that you had. Again, everything here seems boarded up, but everybody make a perception check.
Oh, God. Strahd's coming back with his rats.
You God hear damn it.
How perceptive.
You hear indistinct skittering.
Oh, no.
All right. I rolled 5.
Yep, okay. Same here.
A 9. None of us perceive shit.
Too much wine!
Yeah.
Still got mud in my ears.
Nick stops, though, and he says, Guys, do you hear that? It sounds like someone's crying. Do you not?
Will's just like, no. No more crying in the streets. Let's just go to this house, please. There's the kids cried in the street. That's ended in the scary ghost house. Can we just please go? Let's go.
Those children were in need, Will. And whoever this is might
you
be
hear crying? Which direction?
Yes, come. It's this way. And he points toward a house to the left side of the street. I think it's coming from here, somewhere here. And as you all
We should at least look.
Yes, exactly. Will, come on.
And yeah, I'm just going to silently follow. Like, yeah.
If any of you approach, Will, you can make out. It sounds like a woman sobbing is coming from inside one of the houses, which actually seems to be boarded up. It's not just disused. It looks to be boarded and barricaded from the inside.
No, not going in there. Scary weeping coming from a boarded up house.
Nick's like, Will, you should go first.
Will, you should go first.
Will,
majority rules. Get in the house.
Will, I dare you to spend the night in that house.
And now the friendly wolf from before comes back and goes, ruh-roh.
Oh, man. It's old Mr. Hinkle. He's dressed up as a lady. Him all along. It was never a scary ghost lady. It was just him in a costume. All right. Will's going to follow because right now he is freaked the F out about a lot of stuff. So he will go with Nick, who he trusts. Not like trust, but at least knows a little more than the other guys. I don't think he's going to go inside, but he'll follow along if people are approaching the house.
Got it. Well, Nick will go up and be like, well, let's, I mean, this isn't our house. Should we see if we can try to find a way in, though?
Will's, like, freaked out still, but, like, knock on the door. That's what normal people do, right? Okay. Knock on doors. You don't have to sneak your way in, right?
I'm going to point at Will and go, that's an absolutely great point.
I guess you're right. I just, it all was kind of boarded up, and I seem to kind of have knowledge of what's maybe going on in there in my head. I don't know why, so I'm acting in a way that might be different from someone who's just coming upon a house and hearing noises inside.
I think you've got too many voices in your head, bro.
It's almost as if I know the occupants. All right. And Nick will stride up and rap firmly on the door, and there's no response. The sobbing doesn't stop, doesn't seem to move, doesn't sound like it's from right on the inside of either the front windows or the front door or anything like that. Nick looks back, kind of shrugs, and then knocks firmly again. Same thing.
House is all boarded up. You said it looks like it's boarded up from the inside out, right?
Correct.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that whoever's in there might be scared of something, and they're keeping themselves inside.
This might call for bolder action. And I pull out my crowbar. I do have a crowbar, by the way. I didn't find it.
Lank's been dragging around this box behind him. He just pulls it out of it randomly.
This is all my stuff and my house.
Well, what's... And he looks to Will. What's the proper thing to do here, Will? I don't seem to have a good grasp of etiquette, apparently. I feel like...
After you knock, it's okay to break in, right?
I forget all these things. I feel like I heard something about, like, shitting in a bag and lighting it on fire. Do we do something like that?
My personal policy is, unless I'm told not to do something, it is okay to do it.
Including shitting in a bag and lighting it on fire.
I live in a very organic universe. If these moods come to you.
Well, Will is not going to be the one that would be like, yep, let's go in, because he's going to be like, so if we're just waiting for people to say stuff, Will would be like, there's a lady crying in her house. What are we supposed to do about it?
We can remove a board. If it turns out that they don't need our help, whoever's inside, we can put the board back and explain that we were just trying to help. And Lang starts to loosen one of the boards at, for what all of you, I'm assuming, would be shin height.
All right, make a strength check, Greg, and do it with advantage since you're using the crowbar.
Okay. Ooh, second one was a natural 20, which is 25.
Got it.
Nice.
All right.
There you go.
Fuck
you, door.
He knocks the whole house down.
The entire house actually raises itself up off its moorings.
Oh, sorry. I become British when I do things like that.
I didn't need your help. Put the board back.
Righto, thing.
You're knocked back, the house falls into rubble, and then all of a sudden there's wolves and Strahd standing there, and...
No! No!
Lang says, I did not see that coming!
No, but you, you put a lot of effort into it, but it seems like that board was only held on by, like, maybe two nails, maybe, and they were short nails. Kind of pops off and clatters into the house, because again, it's nailed from the inside. And the board above it pops off and kind of swings down as well.
I move forward to peer in using my dark vision.
Got it. You see the front hallway for this townhouse seems rather dilapidated, which is kind of what you'd expect based on everything else you're seeing in this town. Otherwise, you don't really see anything out of the ordinary.
I can't see anything, says Lang. I can't see any sign of a crying woman.
Right. Nick would kind of bend down and peer in and say, Hello? Hello? Is anybody there? Hello? And there's no response. The sobbing still continues. Well, we kind of made a hole. Should we go in?
I think we must at this point.
That's the rule.
Yeah, apparently we're the type, we don't just step in mud, you gotta go straight through the ground with it.
There's no law just called breaking, it's always breaking and entering. You have to.
Will's like, guys, you're just gonna go in a crying woman's house? Guys.
Yeah.
We just need to make sure that she's all right.
What if she just, like, broke up with her boyfriend or something? I mean, what if she's half naked in there? What are you guys doing?
Guys, maybe she's half naked in there. Let's go!
Board is already scaling the side of the house. Telescope in hand.
Broke up with a boyfriend, check. Half naked, check.
Hey, baby, you like the loot?
We're on our way, ma'am!
Oh, man.
I know how to play the pipes. How about you?
Oh, man.
I'm going to hang back a little bit, but, like, part of me is kind of concerned that this guy went from 0 to 30. Like, Yeah, we can't do things in halves, so let's go. Don't half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing.
Yep. Yeah.
I think Lank steps through the opening that he has created at the woman's house.
Okay. Lank, having taken that first step, I think Nick would... He's not sure. Like, he's kind of hesitant, because it is maybe technically wrong, but he doesn't know if somebody needs help, and this is a weird, weird place, so he's going to go into.
I think Will's like, hey... Open the door. If you're already in there, open the door.
Nick and Lank would look and see that the door is boarded up from the inside as well.
There's got to be a reason why it's being barricaded from the inside, right?
Right, guys? Yeah. I mean, if they say that to us, I would say, never mind. Never mind. I'm still staying out here.
Is it you just don't want to soil your clothes on the windowsill there?
Will's just, like, offended, like, what?
Haven't you seen how I can clean my own clothes? I'm not worried about that.
He's like, no. I mean, I guess for a second he's thinking, like, I wonder if there are even any law people in this town. But he's like, I'm not breaking into some lady's house. You just go ahead. And Will's just, I'll guard the hole.
Sounds like you're going to have to stand in line.
Guard the hole.
You're the one who chose the going forth. You get it.
Oh my god.
Any port in a storm, am I right? Even if the storm happens to be the dwarf I met maybe an hour ago.
Oh, my face hurts. Okay. All right. Well, Will's guarding the hole.
Got it.
Literally, not metaphorically.
Is Gorin going in or not?
Yeah, but I'm going to straggle towards the back. So, like, I'm going to let them go ahead, and then I'll have, like, I'm going to be kind of cautious about this.
Got it.
If there is something bad in there, that way we're not all standing in a goddamn row.
Right. Well, once you're inside, you can tell pretty clearly that the crying is coming from upstairs. There's a flight of stairs here, sort of in the front hallway leading up to a second floor above. You don't see anything up there, but that's definitely where the crying is coming from.
Are we going upstairs, guys?
I think so. I'm a little unnerved about trespassing in the first place, so I would say let's head straight to what we're concerned about. Don't need to peer through the rest of this person's house, I think.
We may want to try calling out to her again.
Right.
And Lank calls out to her. Hello? We're not burglars. We're trying to help.
Do you need help?
You maybe hear like a hitch in the sobbing, maybe for a second, but it just, then the person is still crying.
She needs help. We should go upstairs.
Right.
I love how you're saying that as if I'm going to stop you.
I'm already starting toward the staircase.
I'm going to go places with this group.
All right. So you go up the stairs. There's a couple closed doors up here, and there is a door that's slightly ajar. And you do see, you can tell that that's where the sound is coming from.
I don't want to frighten you and startle you, but there's a whole group of us here to help. And we're coming towards your door.
The crying continues.
Light goes up to the door and tries to peek inside.
You can see... In the center of the floor, there's an older woman sitting on the floor, holding something, and just kind of rocking back and forth and just sobbing. She's not, like, muttering anything crazy or anything like that. She's just crying. It looks like it's a girl's room, like a younger girl's room, based on what you can see in it. But you don't see anything out of the ordinary.
A little bit more quietly, Lank still tries to get her attention. Asking if she's all right.
She kind of looks up at you a little bit, sees you at the door, and just kind of says, No. And keeps crying.
Lank motions for his the people who actually came into the house with him to follow.
Stick your hand out the window, wave Nick up, or Will up. All right, well, Nick will push the door open, trusting Lang's judgment, and what's wrong with her?
Ma'am, is there anything we can do?
No. My daughter's gone.
What happened to your daughter, if I may?
She left, and she's never coming back. No.
You can see, now that you're kind of in the room, she's holding a, looks like a doll. You can see, actually, the face of it. It's kind of weird. The face, it's not like a normal... It's like made with like thread stitched into the face to make like a, what normally would be like eyes and like a smile or something like that. But the mouth on it looks kind of like, almost like a leer as opposed to like a normal smile. It's kind of weird. It doesn't seem to be like damaged. It seems to be like that was how it was made. She doesn't get up. She doesn't try to greet you or anything like that. She's just seems to be kind of consumed by whatever's bothering her.
Where has your daughter gone?
I don't know. I don't know. The evils of this land, I'm sure, have consumed her in one way or another. I kept her here. I kept her safe. I told her. I insisted. This is where she needed to be. There was nothing out there for her. But she's gone. Gone!
And you don't know where she is.
I fear the worst.
What's your name?
My name is Mary.
Mary, what's your daughter's name?
Gertruda! Gertruda!
If we hear anything about a Gertrude, we'll try to get word back to you, but I'm gonna look at Nick and Lank and go, I don't know what we can do for you right now.
There's nothing, nothing. She's gone. She's gone forever. I'll never see her again.
When did your daughter leave?
Days ago. It's been some time. Maybe a week. I have no idea. Too long. She's not coming back. She's not.
You can't say that. Sometimes people need to go away for a little while to realize how much they miss where they're supposed to be in the first place.
But it's not safe out there. Do you not know where you are?
Starting to get the idea.
This is so tense. I'm not even there, and it's super tense.
Well, and Nick would say, well, go ahead.
What does your daughter look like if we see her?
That's a good question. Let me pause while I look up what my daughter looks like.
She looks like a Gertrude.
I can tell you really miss her.
I feel like she's gone. I can't even remember what she looks like.
Yeah.
You know how when it's been a while since you've seen someone?
A week? A week ago?
Yeah. It's been a long time. I don't remember. She has dark hair. She's 15 years old. She's very beautiful. The most beautiful girl you've ever seen. She
What's
probably looks
name?
Like a dead person because she's dead. I'm sure of it.
Oh my god.
What's your last name?
That's a good question, too.
It's probably something something of itch.
This Got is it. Really potent grief you're dealing with.
My name is Mary Lost Gerlovich.
Right, exactly.
It's Belasco.
What? Belasco? No, it's not. You liar. Will says that from outside.
You're not even here. You didn't even care about me or my daughter. You didn't want to get your clothes dirty. Breaking into my house!
Listen, I have a spell that takes care of that, you bitch!
And you wouldn't come in! You wouldn't come in to clean my clothes or to clean your clothes!
I think I know why Gertrude left.
She always loved our daily sob sessions. I don't know why she would have come.
At this point, Gorin starts to slowly back out of the room. Me, not today, disco lady.
Nick would look at Gorin kind of leaving. He kind of like grit his teeth and shrug and be like, yeah, and kind of head out. He'll put a hand on Lank's shoulder, kind of gesture to the door and kind of shrug.
If we hear anything about your daughter, we'll try to get word back to you, okay?
I'll be here!
You should eat, or something besides cry and scream.
I had a bologna sandwich!
I'm gonna go ahead, it was not a delicious one, because you probably had to dry your tears with the bread.
I used an onion roll.
you're thinking a step ahead of yourself, that's hope! And if that sandwich was half as good as your crying, that girl's not going to be gone very long.
I don't quite know how to ask this because I don't think Lank would think through this, but basically he's going to offer to put the boards back, but the boards are nailed up from the inside. What was she protecting herself from? If her daughter ran away, why would she be like, oh, I'll just seal my house?
This door only works one way.
Bobby, I'm going outside. You had your chance, bitch.
I didn't know this was the mom from Precious. Jesus.
Also, I'm very particular about my hangers.
No wire hangers ever.
What do you actually say? Do you just think?
Would you
all
like
of this?
Us to put the boards back when we leave?
You took the boards down. Yes! Yes, it's not safe out there! How
but
dare
what
you
if
just...
your daughter tries to come back?
She completely stops sobbing. And then just devolves into just, like, even heavier, bigger wailing. And she just keeps doing
it. Did the logic hurt her? Like
cognitive dissonance.
Lank is starting to regret coming in here.
What did we learn?
I think Nick would actually go up and try to pull Lank out of the room.
Yeah. Lank yields to his pushing.
I don't think we're equipped to handle this further.
I'm gonna go with no. No, walk back. I guess we could put a couple of the boards back up.
Try to pull them. Yeah, I guess.
Well, sort of. Yeah. I mean, sort of lean them against the bottom of the door.
Yeah, that seems to make the most amount of sense.
Yeah. And during this, what was Will just staying outside?
Will was looking around and making sure nobody was seeing them breaking into a house and kind of just.
Oh, you actually making... were guarding the hall.
Yeah, I was guarding the... I mean, yeah, that's what I was doing. And making sure that he was not touching his locket whatsoever. But yeah, making sure that there... You know, that's all he was doing. Keeping an ear out to hear if there was a problem, but he just hears the crying. He's assuming they're doing something horrible to her, and he's just like, I guess that's what she deserves. I don't know.
Will, stand watch out here while we go beat up this old woman.
This crying old woman, by the way.
Yeah.
They're not going to antagonize her.
So, they would make their way back out. Nick would be like, well, Will, she, I know you're probably wondering, she... You were very interested, I know.
Yeah.
Thank you for standing watch. The woman in there, sounds like her daughter ran away, and she's extremely distraught.
How old is her daughter? Like, a little kid?
What did she say, guys? 15?
15.
Is that really running away? She's 15. She probably got a boyfriend. All right, let's move along.
But is she half naked? Okay. Well, yeah, her name was Gertruda. Mm. So, keep an eye out and ear out. She didn't give us too much information. She had dark hair and is apparently the most beautiful girl you've ever seen.
All right. Does she cry like that? Like, should we keep an ear out for that? Ooh, sounds like lots of crying.
It's pretty intense.
Mm. Yeah, I could hear it all the way out here like you did. So sounded like it got louder for a while. Don't know what you guys were doing. Again, let's move on. Will's anxious right now.
Great. Yeah, let's do this. Let's not keep this guy whose house we're staying in waiting.
All right, so you head off down the street far enough, you can see somewhat of a, you know, a larger, kind of like a mansion. Not like giant, but it's what you could tell looks kind of like a well-appointed house. But as you approach, it's very weary looking. And there's like an iron fence around it, but it's kind of rusting. The right gate is completely off, for example. The left is kind of hanging, kind of squealing, swinging back and forth. Weeds all over the place. Definitely not well kept. And specifically interesting, you can see all around the walls of the house, the weeds are all tramped down a few feet out up to the side of the house. They look like they're all matted down and stomped down. And on the sides of the walls of the house, there's like deep, like score marks, almost like claw marks all around.
Creepy.
It looks like parts of the house on the outside have been either on fire or right next to fire, they're kind of charred. The house is not, like, burnt out. It's not like a husk of a house, but all of the windows, there's no glass in any of them. They're all barred with planks.
This doesn't look like a place I want to stay. That's what Will all of a sudden is like. Never mind.
No, it's all right. I think all the houses around here have planks on them.
Yeah, it seems to be a trend.
But look at the claw marks, guy. Oh, my God. We're going to stay in this...
I don't know that we have any other options, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We probably couldn't get a room with that woman that we just tried to help, so, yeah. Probably this place is our only option.
Everybody make perception checks.
16.
11.
14.
Okay. You all notice that within the trampled weeds, as you get closer, you can see anywhere that they're kind of tramped down. You see footprints in them, so you can definitely tell they've been like stomped down. You see both what looks like human as well as wolf prints.
Ooh, yeah. I wonder who that was. I wonder.
Tired of this stupid guy and his stupid dogs.
And so you come up on the house. It's kind of looming above you, and you're wondering what's inside. And with that, I think we're gonna stop for the night.
Next time on Pork Fried Dice, more wolves.
Yep.
Too many wolves. Too many wolves.
Thanks for listening. Please leave us a review on iTunes and feel free to visit porkfrieddice.com to find links to us on Facebook and Twitter. Be sure to join us next week to find out what happens to your favorite adventurers as they muddle their way through our demented mindscapes.